You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 89, a special episode. We've been talking about certain topics that non-wrestling relating directly, I would say, but certainly indirectly. And we're going to try and avoid those as much as possible. And I said, hey, how about we have an episode where we only do good cop moments and increase that positivity? Matt is nodding right now. Before we get to that, though, there's a couple of things. One of them is the poll. So you won the poll, 53 to 47. It was pretty close. You picked Otis winning his match to go into Money in the Bank. And I picked the, I can't think what they're, is it called the Bubbly Bunch? I can't remember what they're even called. But their little fight scene anyway, which I thought was hilarious. I wasn't sure. I thought, Matt's either going to love that or he's going to hate it. And I didn't actually ask you what you thought of it. Did you see that segment?
It was enjoyable.
Fair enough. Not surprisingly, I got a couple of votes from the boys. I showed it to them and they thought it was absolutely amazing. And but yeah, it appeals to different people. And but I thought it was entertaining.
And of course, my brother just picked at random. So.
And that could have been, like I say, it was pretty close. It was, I don't know, one vote could have swung it again. So his random vote might have been the deciding factor. So you will get to do an open agenda later.
A show which aired the same day as us, Banned from Ringside. Bill was asking if someone could find a clip of Triple H trying to pedigree Linda McMahon. Graham mentioned it, but I probably know it by memory.
I think I'm being facetious and said that you could probably type the URL for the clip from memory.
Not quite that accurately, but let me put it this way. Bill, and I hope you're listening to this, Bill, we'll tag you so you have to listen to it at this point. You said that you have typed in Triple H pedigree Linda and nothing comes up. First entry.
Somebody else got caught out of the line.
And it was uploaded a year ago. So unless you haven't searched for it in like 4 years. Anyway, that put a smile on both our faces. And it's all about good cops there. The power of positivity is flowing through us today. As much as you hate the New Day, Graham, it's time to try out some good cop. And I think we should start.
Bad. Good.
All right, let's first of all say how we're going to do this, because we normally have three segments. So they're all going to be good cop, but I said, how about we do it as WWE, non-WWE, and then things we saw on Twitter, which of course could fall into any of those two categories as well. All right, I'm going to start off with this as my good cop moment, and I'm not sure you're actually going to agree with me necessarily, but I'm claiming it's a good cop moment.
Okay.
Obviously, Edge's comeback, fantastic to see. That documentary was great. If we go back a little bit further, obviously Daniel Bryan being back in wrestling is obviously a good thing for WWE and wrestling in general. I wonder if we might have another name on that list soon. Corey Graves. WrestlingHeadlines.com from May the 1st. He trained with his brother Sam Adonis for the first time in 5 years. They did a few moves. They ran the ropes. They locked up. Quote, had a blast in a ring with my trainer at WWE Graves for the first time in 5 years. # you still got it. End quote. He actually talked about the fact that Edge was a bit of an inspiration for this, because I certainly didn't think, I thought Edge was done. We actually talked about it. We just did not think it was too long. And then he went and got the checks and he was like, yeah, you can do it. Same thing with Graves. I'm sure after 5 years, he assumed that, hey, look, I'm done. I'm going to be a commentator for the rest of my life. That's it. And I'm sure he would have been okay with that. He could, yeah. You take what you're given. The fact that he actually has a chance to possibly get back into the ring again, first of all, for his health situation, that's great. The fact that the concussions, obviously not an issue anymore, fantastic news. Even if it turns out that he doesn't do anything with this, just a good cop piece of news that he's in better health. Even if they just ran it as a separate story, even if they just ran it as a single thing where, I don't know, I'm not sure which brands they're on, because you know I don't watch enough WWE to pay full attention to this, Matt. Even if he just stepped up for Michael against stopping Sheamus coming to him. Even if he just stood up for him and defended him like that and had a one match thing and then he went back to commentary, great. I think it adds an extra dimension to his character, though. If he was to come back, I honestly think people would be interested in that story just because of the novel side of it as well and the feel-good side of it as well. So however WWE wants to do it, however Corey Graves feels he might do it, even if it doesn't turn end-to-end anything, it was a clear good cop moment for me this week.
Right, now, everyone out there knows my opinions on Corey Graves behind the commentary table. But as Graham was talking about that, you know, bearing in mind, I can cast my mind back to 2001 when Stone Cold Steve Austin went to attack Michael Cole and Taz stepped up in front of him. Same when Taz went to JR and the King jumped in front of him, sort of thing. And I would love to see Corey Graves back in the ring again. Corey Graves had a promising career cut so short. I'd love to see him back in the ring, one, because then I want to listen to him on the microphone every week, for one thing. But also, I don't want to see someone have to retire when it's not on their terms. If he had a chance, I'd be happy with that. I'd be very happy with that. There's talk about Paige potentially being able to come back from her injury as well now. And I'm very, very happy to hear that the medical procedures are coming along in the stage where wrestlers now can dictate when they want to retire, not because they haven't got a choice in the matter. And I'll drink to that. I haven't been this excited about a Money in the Bank event for years. Not since 2011, where CM Punk, John Cena's confrontation, when literally the arena pretty much erupted when Punk arrived and won the title, my ad. I am excited about this, as was briefly mentioned about on Talk of the Table. This obviously has got, this is going to be a fantastic it could be an amazing Money in the Bank ladder match because both of them are happening side by side, obviously at the same time in WWE headquarters. Nowhere is off limits, and then you've got to climb the ladder on top of the roof to retrieve your briefcase. Now, the reason I'm so excited about this, and what my good cop moment, if you'd have asked me about this at Royal Rumble time, would I have liked this idea? I'd have been like, Graham's shaking his head. I'm going to say, I'd have been intrigued by it. I would have been intrigued by it. Having seen the Boneyard match. Pardon?
You'd have been asking why.
I would have been asking why, but at the same time, I'd have been like, "Well, the whole corporate ladder thing, climbing the corporate ladder, it plays into it quite well." I've been like, "Well, I'll watch it," sort of thing. But it wouldn't be like, you know. But having seen the Boneyard match, having seen the Firefly Funhouse match, I'm like, this has got an incredibly high bar now to live up to. And by all accounts, it's already filmed. So it's going to be polished. It's going to be cinematic. And I can't wait to see Baron Corbin get put through some kind of furniture by Nia Jax. But because when I was talking, I was wrestling with Jonas when I was doing a guest spot on there. I was talking about that. And he actually said, they're going on at the same time sort of thing. And then literally the next day, they actually announced on Raw, on the little trailer, they're happening at the same time. What if they meet each other? I'm like, then it all goes to hell. And it's absolutely amazing is what happens. And I can't wait to watch it. I'll be watching it. I'll be live tweeting about it. I'm going to have coffee. I'm going to be a Red Bull. I'm going to be buzzing watching this. And it's going to be... To dust off an old catchphrase, Graham, it's going to be matter-tacking awesome.
Now, something I saw on Twitter this morning, which I guess I missed. I don't watch that show on Fox, the one with Renee Young. I never remember what it's called. I saw on that that they had the four screens like they do with the people talking. And then it looked like somebody had hacked into it. And they were asking, like, how come the people didn't react to that? And they were like, well, that didn't happen on there. That was, like, post-production or whatever. There was a lot of little clues into that, the fact that it's Money in the Bank. And Matt's nodding furiously now, so he knows where I'm going with this. Someone suggested that there was a line used by CM Punk as well, leading to people to think that that would be a little mean of WWE to put a hint in like that and then it not be him, wouldn't it? What do you think this hacker is? Who do you think the hacker is? What do you think it means? I didn't see any of that because I only watched the highlights.
Right, first of all, thank you for reading my notes, Graham, because this was my speed check round. The SmackDown hacker has been to eat the CM Punk. If it is, some people are thinking it's too low a tier for Punk to come back in on. But who's to say that this wouldn't be the start of something? I think that, I mean, did it say we're going to find out this weekend? No. This could run and run and run. And then,
the code that was entered was the date for Money in the Bank, I think is what I read.
Yeah, that's right. But there's nothing to say that we'll find out whose identity for Money in the Bank. It just says that the truth will come out. Doesn't say what truth, because they started that with my boy Otis and his peach Mandy Rose, as he likes to call her, which is still my favourite storyline on SmackDown. It still is my favourite storyline on SmackDown. Otis is my pick for Money in the Bank. I want it to be Punk. I want it to be Punk so badly. It goes back to when I was in America at Disney watching Punk come out on backstage and Chris being completely oblivious to who he was. I'm like, why am I dating you again? I'm like, you don't pay attention to wrestling with me. Come on, I pay attention to so much for you. Anyway, Chris is never going to get wrestling. I get that. But he knows a big deal for me. And CM Punk, even if it's not him, WWE associating that phrase, people are now talking about the hacker even more. So even if it's not Punk, job done.
Do you have anything else for your speed check?
Thankfully, yes, I do. One thing.
All right. Mine's kind of, I actually told you, I had quite a bit of difficulty this week finding things. And you're like, really? I was like, yeah, I found stuff I would normally, like, you find a good story, then you find a bad story. It's like, great, that fits in here. And you kind of fill in the blocks pretty quick. I had to look a lot harder this time to find. And with obviously, I haven't watched much wrestling this week. I'm going to be really honest about that. My good cop short speed section, sorry, for WWE. Headline, WWE John Cena surprises 7-year-old battling life-battling illness in Odessa from News Channel 8. David Castle, 7 years old, battling, I hadn't heard of this, a Wilms tumor. I'm not exactly sure what that is. But he got a visit on Sunday from John Cena. Obviously, with all the precautions right now, he was wearing a mask and everything. He brought him two WWE belts, signed T-shirts, a signed program, a hat, some of his headbands. I don't even know why it mentioned in the story. It said David had tears in his eyes. Heck, David wasn't the only one with tears in his eyes when I was reading that story. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like an ultimate feel-good story. Clearly, the medical situation is very serious. I know there's also a GoFundMe account to try and raise money for all the procedures that are going ahead. Even so, it still makes a good cop moment. David actually turns 8 on Sunday. So 2 days after this episode comes out, he's going to have his 8th birthday. What a fantastic story. John Cena, it doesn't matter what he does for the rest of his career. He can do absolutely nothing inside the wrestling ring, I should say. And it doesn't make the tiniest bit of difference. He's already the record holder for the most number of grant your wishes. And he's going to extend that to a record that probably won't even be touched. You can't say enough about that. One final quick moment. It will be already happened by the time this episode drops, but Karrion Kross is debuting on NXT this week. I'm kind of excited for that, although it sounded like not everybody was on Twitter, and possibly even Scarlett Bordeaux.
Fingers crossed then, Graham. But they do debut because it'd be fun to see him, definitely. I can't say enough to talk about Jonathan. Your charity work, he's amazing on that side of things. Right. I'm going to take you back 15 years, Graham.
Okay.
To the balmy early spring of 2005. 2nd of May. 2nd of May was...
Darn, I was just 30. I was hoping I was going to be in my late 20s. Ugh, never mind.
Anyway, 2nd of May. One thing, it's my friend Scott and his brother Rob's birthday, and they got me interested in the first place. But it's also 15 years ago, on the 2nd, it was 15 years ago since that kick. Dubbed the greatest super kick of all time, it's the super kick, guys, where Shawn Michaels kicked Shelton Benjamin's head off in the first round of a Gold Rush tournament on the road to face Batista. That is, when you think of, you know, Orton doing his RKO at mid-airs and everything, Shawn Michaels was doing that year before he started doing RKOs on people in mid-air like that. So, I saw that and I was like, made me feel one thing really old, but also made me feel really good. Because I was 20. I was 20, right? I'm 36 in a few months' time. That's all I had this week.
Bad.
Good. Right, guys, as you all know, that you can get 30 days free with the code GOODCOPBADCOP on powerfam.tv. However, don't forget there is an app you can get from both the iOS and the Google Play stores. However, to get the code, you must go onto the website to use it. Otherwise, you will not get the discount. Once you've done that, go back to the app and you can watch your heart's content. 30 days free, code good cop, bad cop.
Bad.
Good. You back in business?
I am not back in business. My computer decided to shut down the file that I was working on. So I am going to let you go first as good cop on your non-WWE moment.
Okay, I've only got one moment to talk about. Because, as Mag likes to say, I'm a WWE mark.
if the cap fits.
It does, usually, yes. Usually it's been bad on one as well. Everybody knows that Impact is now in a non-studio environment, of course. Yeah. And they've done a few different things to try and make things work. Graham is biting his fist because he was hanging on to Impact because it had so many things in the bag.
I'm worried. I let you go first. I only have one thing that I can remember, and it's Impact related, so I'm hoping that you're not going to take it. Otherwise, I'm going to have nothing to say in this segment unless my computer decides to play ball. Go ahead.
Pretty sure I am going to take it. A former guest on the MGB Wrestling podcast, one of your finest interviews, of course, Mr. Ethan Page of the North. The whole match was just absolute hoot. Not least because Ethan Page started to attack the mannequin that rings and the crowd. I'm like, and he even tweeted it out like, when we're back in front of the crowd, this is what you can expect. I'm like, Fun! It's so nice to see someone actually playing their character on Twitter. A lot of time for Ethan Page. What can I say about Ethan Page? Want to know more about him? Did an MGB Wrestling podcast interview him last year. It was a great one. Mason Jackson did a great job.
There was a post, and I don't remember from whom it was recently. If you put him on the spot, I want to say it was Amy. I always forget her Twitter handle, Phoenix NJPW, I think it's something. You know who I'm talking about. And it was, when has a wrestler done something nice or went above the call of duty for like one of your kids or something? And there's multiple ones that I could quote. And the one I mentioned actually was Ethan Page. Like I said, he just left his merch as soon as he's like, you have a podcast? Can I be a guest? All right, come on, let's go outside, let's go and do it. Like, your merch table is like, yeah, no one's here anyway, let's just go. he couldn't have been nicer. The interview was a blast. That will be forever memorable. We were big Ethan Page fans before, and yeah, even more so after that. Yeah, when we went to AIW, it was one of the tables that we went to because we wanted to talk to him. And yeah, getting the chance to see him at NEW last year. And like I said, this summer, there might not be as many memories in relation to wrestling. So it makes those ones from last year even more special. And the fact we even drove over to Canada to go see him. We took a couple of extra trips that we weren't going to. We went to see the Border Town Pro Wrestling where he was wrestling, where Swoggle was there as well. And then we went up to his very own wrestling, Alpha One, as well, the next day. So, yeah. All right. Now, the reason I was worried is, like I said, my computer's just crashed. So I'm doing this totally from memory, Matt. I know one thing I wrote down, a non-WWE moment. I talked about it in previous weeks. I talked about how excited I was that Kylie Rae had joined the Impact Women's Division. I said how strong that division is. So imagine my surprise last night when I saw on YouTube, I had an update, and there was a video that it was recommended. Kimberly made a debut on Impact last night. Now, I immediately went to try and look, and the video wasn't actually there. So I guess it was just a story that was there, and I haven't had a chance to watch this morning. This has been a busy school day for me, unfortunately, so I didn't get a chance to look at yet. But that division just goes from strength to strength. At a time when other divisions are cutting back and removing people from their roster, Impact is making that leap and actually strengthening their roster. And what a pick Kimberly is. I have the utmost respect for Kimberly. Now, I've told you before, sometimes when I go on Cage Match, if I see a wrestler and they haven't been rated, like, I'll go and fill in the ratings for them. Kimberly, I gave one of the highest wrestling ratings I think I've ever given to an independent wrestler. We don't get to see her very much, unfortunately, in this area. But every time she has appeared, I've been very impressed. I know we got a picture with her at Nova Pro. I know we also saw her at Flying V. And as far as I can remember, I think that's the only two times I've seen her live. I've seen her on like places like Beyond Wrestling. I've seen her there multiple times, but not live. What a great pickup that is. I'm going to say all these people that we've seen on the independents making that next step up. But yeah, she's one of the greats. I don't know what happened at NXT. Obviously, it didn't work out for her. Embarrassing moment for me the other week where I thought she'd actually won the, was it a Money in the Bank or a Royal Rumble or something? On that, whatever. Anyway, but besides that, that's how much respect. The fact that it was almost believable for a second, that's more to the fact that how good of a wrestler I think Kimberly actually is.
Can I just say, Graham, pretty much, I saw a tweet earlier on today. People actually said, quoting word for word, and Graham said his word for word, it's amazing. AEW cutting back the women's division and Impact to keep adding to theirs. Why is AEW the next generation of wrestling not adding to its women's division? Impact can't fault it right now. They've got some amazing talent coming through there right now. Not just the women's, the men's division is extremely strong.
It's an organization I would like to see more of, that's for sure. I watch more probably from one of their highlights than I watch for the whole of Raw or SmackDown. Like, they put like 4-minute clips up. That's just one clip. That's probably longer than I spend on Raw and longer than I spend on SmackDown. But I don't have that channel. I think it's Access or something. I don't have that channel. So I could sign up for the pay-per-view thing or the subscription service, but I have enough already. I don't need any more right now. But yeah, it is definitely a great product, that's for sure. Eventually, perhaps I will go back to it, and they're going to keep giving me reasons to when they keep adding people like Kylie Rae, Kimberly, Tennille Dashwood, Jordynne Grace. Like, so many names there.
They're making it really hard to say no, Graham.
Yeah, they are.
I've got free streaming service at the moment as well, and I've got network, obviously. I've got IWTV, and of course I've got PowerSlam TV.
Jack, what do you got?
Nothing.
My computer. Let me give my computer one more try. See if it wants to behave itself.
You do better.
I'll give it a minute. You can finish up your pint of ice cream there. Now, actually, while my notes are not up, and while you were talking about something, while you talked about Ethan Page, it actually reminded me of something else that was actually a good moment this week. So I'm going to go with that. Wrestling with Sports podcast with Dennis Farrell, who was a previous guest on MGB.
Yeah,
it's actually now not just specifically wrestling. It has with sports. It has a mix of other sports as well. Dave Christ is on there, who's also part of Impact Wrestling because he still obviously has connections with that. And also, former catcher from the Pittsburgh Pirates, Jason Kendall's on there. And they've actually added Dimitri Young, who's another good baseball player as well, into that crowd recently. And it was NFL draft day, or it was supposed to be NFL draft day, probably about 2 weeks ago. I'm a little behind on some of my podcasts, and I don't think they actually had it in the end. It's immaterial to this story. On that day, they recorded a podcast with a wrestling draft. So for each pick, kind of like the WWE one, you can either pick a wrestler or you can pick a tag team. They actually allowed you to do trios, and four of them went through, I don't know how many rounds. It was a lot, just to see what actually came out of it. I mentioned it to the boys the next day, because I was kind of, they were like, can we do one? I was like, sure. So while we were doing our walk the other day, we actually did our own little draft, and we talked about, like, who would be your number one. They were asking on Twitter, like, who would be your number one pick? Who would be your sleeper pick, et cetera, et cetera. And then they kept following, like, well, who would be your number one female pick then? Or who would be your number one male pick? Or who would be your number one tag team pick? Now, I don't remember everybody's answers. I do remember Mason actually said the Young Bucks. And the reason he gave for that, Matt choked his ice cream. Okay. The reason he gave was actually really good. He was talking about the fact that they know how to promote themselves. They would make a lot of merch sales. And with that extra money, you can actually use that to strengthen your own organization. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a 12-year-old businessman on my hands right now. But I like the way he was thinking and was thinking about the big picture. Jackson's pick for number one was pretty proper. He wanted Lady Frost and he wanted the Savage Gentleman, which I told them and they were delighted to hear that. He said, I think Savage Gentleman said that's the only proper number one pick that you can make. And there you go. We talked about the tag teams that you would want, and Jackson picked the Ugly Ducklings. I said, Jackson, once he gets some money as well, I want to go. We already know he comes up with some good matches. Like, he's got all the wrestlers I want. I have a little indie version, a smaller version of me who's a big indie wrestling fan as well. It was interesting. There were some great discussions that came out of it. And we were talking about back and forth about, hey, why would you pick this person over that person? Like, who would you pick as your established hand? Who would you pick as your muscle? Who would you pick as your high fly? Some great stuff came out of it. Kind of curious. I thought I could throw it back to you as well, Matt. All right. You're starting an organization.
Okay.
You're on the clock. Give me your number one pick. Who are you starting? Money's no option.
My option, any promotion I can use.
Any promotion. Wait. Yep.
Okay, so my big main event star, build the whole company around sort of thing, yeah?
Here you go. Face of the company. Not a bad pick. That is not a bad pick at all. Yep. What about your sleeper pick? Who's the one that's kind of... He's not a sleeper pick. Who's under the radar who you're going to pick up that other people would let drift by a little bit?
Okay. But my sleeper pick... If I had to pick someone, it'd probably be Logan East on the road.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what I said for my sleeper pick. I actually went with a trio from Chikara last year. And I can't remember the team name, but it was Nick Gage, Chris Statlander, and Thomas Santel. I think that's what his name is.
Yeah.
And I obviously want Chris Statlander. Nobody picked Chris Statlander. I was like, yeah, that's kind of surprising. Like, I understand that Charlotte Flair would probably be more appealing and Becky Lynch would be more appealing. But if I'm starting an organization, I want Chris Statlander. I think the sky's the limit for...
Well, if you want to pick my women's division star, my women's division star to build the division around, Jordynne Grace.
And she was one of the people who got picked. Probably, and I know we're only doing positive things here, I was appalled that it came down to the baseball player to actually pick up Okada in probably about the 50th pick. I think that's a big oversight. And probably the 80th pick was Kenny Omega. And the very last pick in the whole draft after 100 was Nick Aldis. I think some people missed a few picks somewhere down the line. Those guys should clearly be a lot higher than that.
And if I'm picking a tag team... Well, it's Dom and Victor Griff and Benjamin Banks, the Golden
Piggy. Hey, on Piggy Society. I love VCW's tag team division. I've been looking a lot through that group recently for interviews I've been preparing for. But yeah, there's some good people on there.
Shout out to the good man himself, Mr. Banks. He shared a video on Facebook this morning. That was before he started his big weight loss regime. He looks in amazing shape now. Can't wait to see the man when I come to America.
Bad. Good.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Good.
Let's move on to our final Good Cop section. This is things that you saw on social media. All right, take it away.
Time of recording right now, Graham, is the 6th of May, and in UK, it's 21:12. This I saw on Twitter at 16:54 today.
Oh, last minute, okay.
Best tweet I've seen in ages. I'll read up a tweet, Graham, and you tell me who you think it is. Because I know you've been busy all day.
Please tell me this is Session Moth Martina's tweet.
This is a tweet I'm going to read out, and you're going to tell me who you think it is, okay?
Okay.
It's Wednesday today. Maybe I'll be on TV tonight. Either way, here's a hat you can buy if you need a hat.
That sounds very Orange Cassidy-like, but...
It is.
Ah, okay.
Greatest tweet I've ever seen in my life. My word, look at that hat. Look at that hat! Look at the hat, Graham.
Oh, sweet. Oh, I do like that. Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to have to get that.
But the comments are brilliant. At Mike Dobbs Radio said, stop, take my money. Spooner Nine Ball said, you need this hat. Don't wear it running. No, that'd be weird. Go Cub Go says, so happy for you. You deserve the AEW World Title Belt. Punk Zero says, freshly squeezed. And then a picture of an orange being squeezed by a hand. Yeah, Orange Cassidy is the most over person in AEW right now. More than Moxley, more than Jericho, more than Matt freaking Hardy. Orange Cassidy, I've been proven wrong. That Orange Cassidy hasn't, well, for now at least, lost his gimmick. I'm very happy about that. I'm happy to be proven wrong. This is what's a good cop thing. Orange Cassidy, I fist bumped that man before it was cool to fist bump Orange Cassidy.
It was his birthday this week as well, so I saw it mentioned. So Satsuma Cassidy sent him a wish, birthday wish, with the two pictures. Somebody from a distance who posted the picture of when he got the fist bump from him walking by the side of the ring at Flying V, and then the picture when we actually got to meet the guy himself later. Absolute legend.
He's very tall, actually, isn't he?
Yeah.
And very handsome when he's actually in the glasses. Well, very handsome young man he is, too. I don't know. Is he married?
I do not know. I don't know anything about
him. Yeah, part of his life is very private, to be fair, because it's not part of his character. Yeah. If there is a Mrs. Orange out there, then good for her. What on Twitter has got your good cop juices flowing, sir?
Now, my computer has not worked, so I'm doing this from memory. I wrote a couple of things down, but once you went on to Twitter, it suddenly reminded me about Session Martina. She's had a few of these zingers in the last few weeks, and she managed to get a Hall of Famer blocked from Twitter and his account removed. Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this story at all, Matt. Somebody posted one of those things, like, when you see these wrestlers, what first thing that comes to mind? Now, the picture was of Scott Hall. And Session Moth Martina tweeted the fact that he promised to pay for a boob job for me and then didn't. Now, I'm doing this from off the top of my head, so I don't know the exact quote. And he did not like that response at all, but I'm guessing it's true. But he responded And he called her a bitch. And apparently, I guess, depending on the context it's used, is enough to get you blocked by Twitter. And it looks like his account has been removed. So some very spicy good cop moments. People obviously loving it for the comments. And I'm a big Session Moth Martina fan. We saw her at WrestleMania weekend. I mentioned her last week in a very unusual match that she had. And somebody put in the comments, like, yeah, this is like the third Hall of Famer she's thrown a zinger at in the last month. I obviously need to be paying a little bit more attention to that account. But yeah, certainly something was going on there. I'm going to throw in a couple more Twitter moments on this. I know this would be more of a speed cop thing, but there's a reason why. This is off the top of my head right now. I did see Lainey Luck had got 10,000 followers on Twitter. Thoroughly deserved. Big fan of Lainey Luck. And I saw she actually accredited Warhorse a little bit as well. I don't know if he's been giving her a little push to get that 10,000. He's on 15,000 as well. It's great to see some of these people that we saw in the early days at Nova Pro really thriving and really doing well, even in times as we are right now.
Bad. Good.
But nothing else really comes to mind, to be fair, apart from the fact that today, of course, he had Mr. Gator's birthday, of course.
Oh, correct. Yes.
Of course, owner, founder, and president of Primetime Pro Wrestling. He really did a good job in the wake of another company going out of business, of course. What a guy. What a guy. Who doesn't love Primetime Pro? Is one of the best up-and-coming companies in general. And I saw it tweeted out by Angus Lane. What more can I say?
I've never heard anybody say anything negative about Primetime Pro Wrestling at all. I have only seen positive comments from wrestlers, and it speaks volumes. And also, as part of that, Lolo as well. Like, after the event, she thanks wrestlers online. It just feels like it's the one question I actually wish that I'd asked O'Shea Edwards. What is it about that back room that makes Primetime Pro Wrestling so special? Because everybody seems to love it. Everybody wants to come back. And, yeah, happy 241st birthday, Coach Gator. My speed check, somebody came back on Twitter this week. Yesterday at the time of recording, Zachary Shiloh took kind of a long break. I think it was over 6 months. It was a long time. He talked about the reasons on his podcast, why he did that. He did it to change a few things in his life. And my gosh, that profile picture, he's looking all the better for it. Like, my goodness, he looks in fighting fit shape. Obviously, we're a big fan. We've both been on his podcast. He's been on MGB as well. He's stood in for you on Good Cop, Bad Cop as well. I'm looking forward for the fact that I can respond to him now on Twitter rather than having to go to email, which is not as easy to do. But no, he said he wants to be back. He wants to... I don't think he's looking for massive numbers. I think he just wants to be back with his family, as he described it. And he wants to be able to talk to the people who he wants to talk to. And yeah, I saw a couple of posts the other day. I know there's a few things. And when he left Twitter, it was a little bit sour. And he's come to terms with those. He's trying to correct those. And he's okay with if people are not okay with that as well. I think he's playing this absolutely right. But definitely a good cop moment that he is back on social media and we can talk to him a little bit more now. At BLK Lions, I want to say, Matt.
BLK Lion 130.
Ah, of course, because it was Zachary Shiloh 130. That would make sense. Having only just joined yesterday, I couldn't remember. I was doing it right off the top of my head. So thank you for that.
I saw that. I saw it pop up on my timeline feed. And I was like, welcome home, Zay. Welcome home, Z-Shy. Welcome home. We certainly both love you. It was lovely to hug the man himself last year in New York City at the Garden. It was a great time. He actually says he wants to be a sub at Graham at some point on his show. I'm like, Graham doesn't take weeks off. That's not going to happen. I take weeks off, he gets someone in. He takes a week off, we put a best of show out. It doesn't happen.
My only criticism I have of Zachary Shiloh is he has no perception of height because he thinks I'm 6'6". But besides that, that's the only criticism I can offer.
That's my fault. That's entirely my fault.
How is that your fault?
I said you were 6'6".
Oh, so he just repeated. Oh, look at the other, he's locked. Wow, you go. My goodness, he's done with a lot.
To be fair, I'm 5'8". Uh-huh. Plus is a giant to me. Conrad's 6'3". Anyway, that would have been my speed check moment, of course. Zachary, be back on Twitter, of course. It's only a good thing, and it's an extra good cop moment because it takes a genuine person to face the problem they've had and try and rebuild some bridges. Zachary, you've always got some friends who are good cop, bad cop. Definitely. We love you, boy.
Bad.
All right, Matt, you won the poll, so go ahead, give us your open agenda item this week.
You.
Oh, my God. Right. I thought you were saving this type of thing for after the show.
This week, Graham, you watched the last Star Wars film.
I did. I didn't just watch the last one. I watched all 11 films in a 48-hour period.
It's not 11, Graham. That's my point. Right. Okay. Now, first of all...
For you? So how many is there, just out of interest, then?
Right. First of all, Rogue One is a spin-off. So is Solo. And if you actually give more than 5 minutes thought to episode 1, 2, and 3, you're an idiot. Because they are terrible. They are terrible.
I'm an idiot.
Well, in your words, not mine. But
on your criteria only.
I'm sorry, but Chris, if you're listening, I'm sorry about this. Disney have a habit sometimes of ruining some franchises. They were accused at one point of ruining Power Rangers when they owned it. Listen to an episode of me and Zachary Shiloh, ironically enough, to talk about Power Rangers. Not going to do it here. But Disney did a very smart thing with episodes 7, 8, and 9. They kept George Lucas away from the damn project. Which is why episode 7 was great. Episode 8 was not so much. But episode 9, now you've watched it, Graham. I didn't ask you for your opinion after you watched it. I want to ask you it right now. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, that tells me then that you didn't see my post on Twitter when people were asking on May 4th about what was your favorite one. So I actually ranked them all in order. So let me see if I can remember off the top of my head. I know that it started. Now, the thing that surprised me was I actually thought that The Empire Strikes Back was my favorite Star Wars film. But I thought Return of the Jedi was a very close second. Actually, I'm reversing that. Return of the Jedi first. So 6, 5, 4 is definitely the top three, and I think you would agree that the original ones are the best ones of all, right?
Well, that's kind of, obvious.
Okay. All right. Now, having said what you've said, I haven't actually watched. I've seen The Phantom Menace a few times, and I don't like The Phantom Menace at all. I thought it was the worst Star Wars film by a long way, so I have no complaints about that. But it was suitable for Mason to watch to kind of get into a little bit. I haven't watched 2 and 3 since they first came out, and I hated them. I liked the end of 3, like the last 10 minutes, but that was about it. I wasn't particularly impressed with 7, and I wasn't particularly impressed with 8 either. Loved Solo. Rogue One couldn't really remember anything about it at all. So anyway, to finish off the answer, 6, 5, 4. After that, it's kind of close. I'm going to go 3. I actually really liked 3 afterwards. I'll throw Solo in there. I'll throw Rogue One in there. I'm then going to go 2. And then I'm going to go 7, 8, 1, 9 as my order for the 11.
You're putting 9 at the bottom?
I hated it. It was awful. It did not keep my attention at all. I'd heard people talking about it ahead of time and said that they didn't like it. And I was like, I have a feeling they're probably exaggerating this. And with being a Star Wars person, I will probably like it. I hated it. I didn't like it at all. To me, it was worse than Phantom Menace.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, Graham.
Of course.
You're wrong, but everyone's entitled to their opinion.
So where are you ranking 9 then, out of between 1 and 11 on my scale?
Well, I haven't seen Rogue One, so I'd be one between 1 and 10 on the scale for me.
Fair enough. So you mocked me for Rogue One. You haven't even seen it? Oh, for God's sake.
I don't like the concept behind it. It's not part of the main canon. It's not part of the main story. It's not a Skywalker story.
Okay, go ahead. It's set 3 years before Episode 4, but okay.
Anyway, you're asking my opinion. I would put it probably about 4th or 5th.
Jeez. The one thing I will say, and this might be skewed, having watched them as separate entities before, having watched them as a continuous marathon, as it were, they piece together really well. And each one enhances the next one. So although I wasn't a big fan of 3 when it came out, I watched 3 and then 4 back to back. It worked so much. Well, actually, it didn't work. There was actually Solo in between that and Rogue One as well. It actually worked much better. I wasn't a big fan of Rogue One when I first watched it, but when you actually see the Death Star doing its thing, it makes much more sense when you get into Episode 4 why Episode 4 is so important. I thought all of them really enhanced each other. I liked 7 and 8 actually a lot more second time through, but no, I hated 9. Couldn't stand it.
Well, you're entitled to that opinion, sir, but as somebody who has flown the Falcon.
Having just said, I hated 7 and 8 when I only watched them one time. I hated 2 and 3 after I only watched them one time. It could be something when, if I watch it again in a few years' time, it might be something that resonates a little bit more. But it did get my attention first time.
Okay, so on to the fun around then, Graham. Have you actually got your Devil's Advocate to handle?
I don't, but I wrote down 2 letters, and I'm hoping that's going to suffice.
Right, well, seeing as you've got to try and suffice, Graham, how about you go first with your Devil's Advocate for episode 89 of Good Cop, Bad Cop?
All right, like I said, I haven't watched much wrestling this week either, so this made this particularly difficult to come up with anything, but I think I will go with this. What an excellent idea of WWE bringing back AJ Styles ahead of somebody who perhaps deserved a push even more.
Absolutely. AJ Styles is the perfect person to bring back to take the push off of Apollo Crews, because the push that AJ Styles is going to get out of this is right off the top of Titan Towers, because that way he actually will probably go back straight back into the Boneyard again, which he's just come out of. Apollo Crews would probably be the one who's going to get pushed in the first place, so he's hurt his leg, he's out of the match, Styles can take that ball instead.
If I didn't have something in both hands right now, my phone and my iPod for the timer, I would be giving you a big round of applause for that one, because you managed to twist it round perfectly. Yeah, I didn't see the whole thing, but I was like, why would they bring AJ Styles back? Mason and Jackson both asked, like, is that the end of AJ Styles? I'm like, oh no, I know he said he wanted to spend more time with his family. And then when I heard that they brought him back for that, and I couldn't remember Apollo Crews' name, I was blanking on that one. I didn't have my notes in front of me. That Devil's Advocate came off the top of my head. I don't remember what my actual one was. I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of disappointing. I don't know, what's AJ, 42, 43? I was like, no, he doesn't need to be in that match. I think they brought him back too quickly. I really think that's a bad move by WWE, which, of course, White makes a perfect Devil's Advocate. In my opinion, you might be happy with bringing AJ Styles back. I don't know.
I'll be honest. I was hoping for Apollo Crews to get the push, but you never know what may still happen. He may still enter the match. You never know.
Holden was a great comment. I like that.
You've got 2... both of which are incredibly evil, but I'm going to give you the first one, Graham, because you like number one, so. Right, so, of course, if I say I mean Graham, for the benefit of the tape. Ready, Graham?
Sure. This has been the longest episode ever. I think I'm getting tired. I'm feeling like you in episode 1.
Okay, your Devil's Advocate is as follows, and it's kind of poetic, but I think it's open agenda. Matt couldn't do this one, but I can. Jar Jar Binks wasn't that bad.
Well, we already had this one before, so we've already tried this one, so I had a feeling this might cycle back. According to Mason, he's a top 5 character in Star Wars, and when he explained it, I've talked to a few other people. They said he's appealing for kids. Now, isn't that the main point of the Star Wars films? When did you first start watching them? When you were a kid. So it makes sense. Although it might not appeal to an adult, it certainly appeals to a child's audience, and that's where the merch is coming from.
Well done, sir, but...
You know where I was talking through right there while I was agreeing. I posted that on Twitter. I was like, I can't believe what the text I just got off on Mason who's watching this upstairs. Jar Jar Binks, he's like, he put hot take, Jar Jar Binks is a top 5 Star Wars character. And the fact, well, I said to him later, I said, the fact that you put hot take, you know that's controversial then. And I showed him, if you Google Jar Jar Binks, if you Google most hated Star Wars character, it puts a picture of Jar Jar Binks. So I've already promised the next time we record for MGB, he doesn't know this. I am going to ask him what his top five is. Where do you think Jar Jar's appearing then? Obviously not number one, because he would have said number one. You going with number two? All right, I'm going to go four, but we'll see.
Incidentally, the other one I was going to give you, which was possibly even more cruel, was the only thing better than watching X and indie wrestling is watching this guy stream his gaming content.
You forgot. You told me you were going to do something to do with Ryan. I'd forgotten about that.
But I thought I'd be nicer.
There you go. If I can find it, and I'm sure it won't be that difficult. I think it's episode 8. I will put in the original Devil's Advocate that you had to defend. I think it was a sign, wasn't it? Oh, what are you showing me? Episode 3. I came up with that zinger in episode 3. Man, I started off hot on coming up with those episodes. I knew that was such a random one. But yeah, that guy holding up a sign, Jar Jar Binks isn't so bad.
And I quit.
You did. That was a wonder. We had some classic Devil's Advocates within those first 10. My goodness.
Whew. Yeah, absolutely. Right. We hope we managed to bring some smiles to your faces, guys, with not a bad cop in sight. He will be back next week, though, guys. On behalf of Graham and myself, we are out of here.
Boom. All right, your Devil's Advocate this week is based on a sign that I saw in the crowd at Monday Night Raw, and I want you to defend what the sign actually said, okay? All right, this has nothing to do with wrestling except for the fact that it was a sign, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to mix it up for you. All right, the quote was, Jar Jar Binks wasn't that bad.
No, Jar Jar Binks wasn't as bad as everyone makes out to be. I mean, after release, he was in the first film. Well, not canonically, but you know what I mean. He was in the first film of the franchise, and he was in the second film, I believe, as well. He wasn't that bad. I mean, he was no Chewbacca, of course, but he was certainly in the film, and I can't defend
that.
I can't defend that. I'm sorry. That was horrendous. Oh my days! You have just completely screwed me over this week.
I saw that sign straight away, and I was like, oh, I should put that as one of my moments. And I was like, no, I'm saving that as my Devil's Advocate.
Oh,
that
God.
That sign made me laugh so much when I saw that. I don't know who put that sign up, but I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought I'd mix it up for you this
week.
I'm
not saying anything, but right now, that's what I think, Graham.
That would be an English gesture that Rain showed to us on a picture for people who listen to
E7
at the MGB Wrestling.
That's a Nova Ace. That's a Nova Pro A7 podcast plug, guys. Tune in to find out what that actual was. Ooh, I'll get even.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.